All right, everybody, welcome back to the Spocast. Here we are in season two, everybody. Johnny Cashmere here, looking a little worse for wear. Don't panic. I'm fine. I'm here with Tommy Grayson.
What up, y'all? How you doing? Live here from Cashmere Batcave.
Live from the Batcave. That's right. We got a lot going on today. If any of you know, it's been a pretty crazy day. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but let's get our peeps in here. Let's get in. JP Grayson, what's up, brother?
What's up? Got the fresh BSB background behind me.
I love it. Look, I'm going to match you. Boom. Look at that.
Right. There you go.
Boom. Hell yeah. Awesome. All right. Let's get the new guy, Phil Stamper, the president of wrestling. What's up, brother?
I'll take that. I'll take being the new guy. Totally good with that.
Welcome aboard. Happy to have you. You served as counsel for one Charlie Tiger in the Wrestler's Court of 2024.
Still think I was gypped on that one. I did a good job.
You did.
You did.
Your clients, on the other hand.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Oh, Rat Boy's back too. Lovely Rat Boy. Thought we smelled something. No, just kidding. But yeah, so Bill, I got to tell you, the Wrestler's Court is now, it's like historic, like the Clone Wars in Star Wars lore. You know, we all earned our medal.
There you go.
But we had to go last week. We had to go what we call flying solo. No Donnie B. We didn't have our handler. It was like we had to travel through the airlines without having a handler. It just doesn't work for the back seats. So let's see if he's ready to come in here. Let's see if Donnie B's around. Yes. Yay. What's up, brother?
Yes. Hello. It's good to be back. Phil, it's awesome to have you. And as a total shoot, when we did the court thing a couple weeks ago, it was so much fun. I said to Johnny afterwards, hey, let's see if he wants to be a permanent member of the show. We love Rob and all well wishes to Rob and everything he does, but we said we definitely need a sane brain on here, someone to steer the ship a little bit and be the yin to our yangs. So,
Phil, please don't ask me to be a handler, because I've tried that before with just Johnny. I don't know if I can do it with these three.
You can't. you're the voice of reason and respectability. I just popped my collar, boom, respectability on the pod.
I'll take it.
Thank you.
Well, Belinda Raya in the house. What's up? Number one backseat fan of all time. Ed Douglas, what's up, brother? Good to see you. Chris Gorish, the Rat Boy's back, and he just had his 60th birthday. So good deal, brother. Happy birthday.
That's unbelievable. Johnny, that's unbelievable. The Rat Boy definitely does not look a day over 90.
No.
But he's looked not like that for 40 years.
He was born that way.
He absolutely was. But listen, before we have to get too far, we might as well say we had a horrible news today. One of my friends, one of our oldest acquaintances, definitely in the wrestling business, our wrestling brothers, Billy Real, passed away today. We just talked to him yesterday. I've been talking to him daily. He just got out of the hospital yesterday, and today he was found, and he's no longer with us. And we have confirmation on that. So we just want to do like a quick, I'm thinking like a 10 bell, little moment of silence, you know, just a sort of thing for Billy's eternal soul. And there you saw him with Dennis Caruso, Donnie, your mentor. That's when I first met Billy Real. Turn that off. I first met Billy Real at the Mount Holly Armory. I was sitting in the crowd with Max Smack. And Donnie, you must have booked Billy in a match. I can't remember who he wrestled, but I remember the guy was big. It might have been, I think it was J.R. Ryder.
Might have been. I did book Billy.
Billy had to be 18 at the time, 17 maybe.
I want to say he was 18. I think it was him and Trent were the same age.
Yep.
Yeah. I just told just before we went on the air, I've known Billy longer than any of you guys have. I've known Billy. I met Billy Real the first night I met Trent Acid. They were together. Two kids just wanting to get into the wrestling business. And I summed it up on social media a little earlier. I had a lot of good memories with Billy. Listen, Billy's good and bad. If you want to talk about the good, you got to talk about the bad. I am satisfied after speaking to you that he came to fruition with his demons and he was on the righteous path trying to clean himself up and get a little better. Like you said, you were speaking to him almost daily. I can only hope that in his final hours or days that this was true. And I believe in the afterlife. It works for me. Prayer works for me. The afterlife, I believe in it. If you don't, that's fine. And I do think that if Billy's in a better place right now, maybe up with Trent, we can all take a lesson from this, that much like Trent, Billy Real was unable to conquer his demons in life. He battled a slew of health issues, mostly due to poor decisions that he made over the last few decades of his life. He'll be the first to tell you that. I would use Billy as well as Trent as a cautionary tale to a lot of young independent talent out there, or just young men and women, young people. Forget wrestling. A young man lost his life today. This is nothing to do with wrestling. A young man who was probably barely, I want to say 40, maybe 39 or 40, should still be alive. Should still be a prospering member of society. I don't know what the future would have held for Billy. I knew he had just had, I believe, one of his feet or his leg was amputated, or his foot. So I know he was battling that. But in some parallel universe, I think Billy stayed on a righteous path. And he never succumbed to the demons, especially after Trent passed. Billy could have went one of two ways. To the left, he could have still been a successful, drug-free, productive member of society. And on the right, the road of demons. And it's going to win every time because the demons have nothing but time. So with that being said, I will always remember some of the fun moments I had. I was the first one to book Billy Real with Dennis. Dennis Carluzzo loved Billy. No matter how many times Billy screwed up or messed up, I can't tell you how many times I would say to Dennis, listen, we can't use this guy again. He did this. He did that. He went into the crowd, whatever reason it was. I said, listen, he's a liability. And Dennis go, yeah, but I love him. Come on, Donnie, book him next time. And then the next show, Billy would be there. We'd book him. And the Wildwood shows, everything, dude. So that was that. All right, yeah, I was the one. And Mark Carluzzo. Mark had a lot of fun with Billy back in the day, too. We all did. Billy was like the kind of guy, like a bad penny, no matter how many times you threw him away, he kept turning up. And, you know, the trips down to Memphis, the legendary stories with the Misfits, the stuff, the shows for Ian Ra and all that stuff, all the stories you'll find online and hear about Billy. Most of them have some exaggeration to them. But I will choose on this day, from this day forward, to only speak about some of the good times I had with Billy. And I truly, from the bottom of my heart, I hadn't spoken to him or seen him since Trent's funeral. I think two or three times online, hello or something, or he reached out to me, hey, bro, how you been, cuz, or whatever. Hey, man, hope things are good. But I hope he's in a better place. And Johnny, I'd like you at this time to say a few words.
Yeah, thanks. You know, when I used to train with the Pitbulls back in 98 on Passyunk Avenue in Philly, the Pitbulls would leave after training and let us have the ring for the next 2 hours. And that's when Trent and Billy really shined, man. They would just run practice. A lot of nights, Reckless Youth and Don Montoya would be there, Nate Hatred, and a lot of times Mike Keener would be there pretty much helping run practice, teaching us how to do what we need to do. And since I had seen Billy from the crowd, I knew how good he was. You know, he was doing up and overs in the corner, head scissor takeovers, when the only other guys doing that were on Nitro. You know, so he was definitely ahead of his time. He was someone I looked up to and wanted to learn from. And early on, my very first event I ever ran in my life, Billy and Trent wrestled each other at my college in a ladder match. And it was the first time a promoter had given them a semi-main event spot on a show. And I remember how excited they were and how grateful. And after that, all of a sudden, all the other promoters started using them in high-level matches on their shows after that. You know, you just got to show a greedy action figure collector how to use the action figure, and then all of a sudden he wants it, and he wants to use it that way. But Donnie, I want you to understand, when I say I've been talking to Billy, it's been good. it's been good conversations. He's been talking like an adult, like someone who wants to move forward. He told me it's important he stays more around the wrestling business. Just yesterday, today I woke up and hit him up like, yo, are you okay? I didn't hear from you after last night when you got released from the hospital. And I get a phone call from a wrestler I haven't talked to in 15 years saying, did you hear about Billy Real? It took me hours just to confirm it today, Donnie. It was horrible not knowing for that long, you know? But anyway, Tara says, Billy Real. I mean, Tara has been to his house and helped him since he has had his leg amputated. So, Tara, I know you're taking this tough. You know, we're all here for you, babe. Just keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep getting those Funko Pops of the Backseat Boys together. That'll keep you occupied so you won't think about anything bad, all right?
But, you know, yeah. Johnny, we've spoken about this, Johnny. A lot of people may or may not know this, and Phil included. Billy Real was an original Backseat Boy. When I first came up with the concept, the original Backseat Boys were going to be Billy Real, Trent Acid, and Wifebeater.
Yep.
And they all came to the show, and Wifebeater walked in, and I said, oh my God, man, what happened to you, dude? It looks like your head got hit with a chainsaw. And he said, actually, it was a weed whacker. And I said, no, I'm serious. What happened? He said, no, I was in CZW last week. Somebody tapped me with a weed whacker in a match. And I just said to him, bro, I can't sell you like as a teenage heartthrob sex symbol to girls or whatever with your head half cut off. So that was that. And then Billy had done a few things behind the scenes that just aggravated me to no end. And I said, even though we might use him here and there, I need something a little more steady. And then Trent was the one who suggested you. And I sat down and had a good conversation with Trent about it. And that was the direction they never actually got in the ring together. Trent, Billy, and Wifebeater as the three backseats. It was just on paper, like a working title. But, he was an original. The very first time I thought of the concept, driving in my 98 green convertible Mustang and I Want It That Way came on, I thought to myself, Billy and Trent, I really did. And then everything happens for a reason, bro.
One time Billy was going to pick up, or Nick Burke was going to pick up Billy and Trent and me or whatever. We were all driving together to a show for Bay Ragni, an LAW show.
Yeah.
And Billy wasn't ready. And Nick just got mad and said, I'm leaving without him, and left without him. And then Nick went and tried to get Billy's spot on the show. Like, hey, I don't think Nicky's showing up. I don't think, you know, Billy's showing up tonight if you need, you know. So Nick's in the back talking his match over, and up walks Billy Real. Somehow got to the show. He just turned Nick around and just punched him. And just boom, right there. Stevie Richards, Ted Petty had to break it up. It was hysterical.
Stories, man.
Oh my gosh.
I saw some pictures. Didn't Billy have like gold pants or something like that?
Yeah.
He had all kinds. He had different pants. Yeah, the most famous Billy Real story that I could tell real quick is when we had worked him, me and Dennis and Mark, and I forget who else was on it. We had him convinced to go. We wanted him to go in the ring against Dan Severin, and we had told him that the referee was in on it. That he was going to jump on Dan at one point in the match, and the ref was going to, I think it was Keener, count a quick three, and he was going to beat Dan Severn for the NWA title. And if I remember correctly, Howard Brody was on the phone too, and either he said, yeah, that's true, we want you to do it, Billy. And Billy kept saying, oh my God, there's no way. Dan will kill me. He'll kill me. I'll never make it out of the ring. And right before he went to the ring, I said, I'll give you an extra $100 out of my own pocket if as soon as the match starts, you just tell Dan you want to get a quick schoolboy, and that's when Keener will count to three, and then you just run out. And Billy wouldn't do it. And we didn't smarten Dan up to it either. That was the funny thing is everybody was smartened up except Dan and Billy.
Jesus.
But when they got in the ring, then they just had the regular match. But Billy was shitting for hours, dude. Carluzzo kept going to him, dude, are you going to do it? Come on, dude. You got to do it, dude. You got to do it, man. You got to do it, man. It was so hilarious, dude. The entire, I think it was Yardville, the whole time, the whole day, Billy was fretting it.
Yep. And Billy did come out of the seats as a fan.
That's right. Chris Gordon did. Said.
Right from the bleachers in ECW. You know, one time, Donnie, when Rockin' Rebel was still alive, he was trying to sort of like do a takeover of my school, right? So he said, so I'm talking to Blue Meanie. I said, Meanie, you know, Rebel's doing a takeover. Don't go to that meeting he's having this weekend that I'm not even supposed to know about. I won't. So I get there and Meanie's there. Billy walked up and punched Meanie, and Meanie fell over the display case where we were selling our merchandise and just rode it to the ground in what felt like slow motion. landed on the ground and we were just like, I told you not to be here. Get the hell out of here. But like, I mean, since then it's all water under the bridge with Meanie and all I that. Know. But Billy legitimately was the first one to run up and just sock the guy. Like Billy had heart, man. He had heart.
He was loyal. If he was your friend, man, he was loyal every day on Trent's death anniversary and his birthday and stuff. When he did have access to social media, he would always post about him. And
yep.
You know, who knows, well, man, maybe they're tagging tonight, brother.
Well, put your Billy Real comments in the chat. We'll share them throughout. Yeah. But we have a little bit of a surprise. Listen, if you've all been paying attention the last few weeks, we have a very special surprise for everyone. Phil, I know you haven't got to talk yet. You will. We have not forgotten. It's just, as you can see, we had some unforeseen business we had to handle. So thank you for your patience. At this time, I would like to introduce everyone. Public enemy number one in some senses. Mr. Brutal, Bob Evans. Oh, no.
Oh, can't hear you, Bob.
No sound. No.
Wait a minute. He's muted.
Wait.
No, we can't hear you. We can see you, Bob. Cover that in your next seminar.
I'm not muted.
We got two Bob
Evans. There you are.
Hey, there he is.
I was going to say, I'm not muted. I'm good.
Well, we got you in here twice, but we can hear you. How's it going, man?
Perfect. Public enemy number one. What did I miss?
Well, Brutal Bob, being the man that's known you the longest on this panel, 2 weeks ago, we did a little spoof on a little thing called Wrestler's Court, which I'm sure you have heard of back in the day, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we had a Wrestler's Court, and a young man named Charlie Tiger was charged with the crime of trying to work young boys into covering extra trans money to be in his car to make a loop for that weekend. He was trying to coerce young boys mm-hmm. into giving them extra money to cover his trans. So we had Wrestler's Court, and he was found guilty. And part of his punishment was he was sentenced to an 8-hour block of a Brutal Bob Evans course and instruction on how to get better in the wrestling business. So that was his penalty.
But because
it has a happy ending, so that's good.
Well, it came out in the course of the trial that you started the entire thing with ride shares. Is that true? That's multiple people have told us.
You know, I brought it up 10 years ago. Nobody's ever rode together before. I invented that. yep, that was my I invented that, the headlock, three-quarter Nelson. Those were all mine. No,
he meant in a good way, like someone who actually was smart enough to present it in the proper way. Like, hey guys, this is an opportunity. This is how you should do it. And Charlie Tiger just took it and said, hey, listen, there's a chance this weekend. I need you guys in my car, blah, blah, blah. This is what you have to owe. And he made it a whole thing. So that's why he was charged in Wrestler Court.
And when the going got tough, Bob.
I think he's lagging out.
Yep. Oh, no.
It's RoboBob.
Beep, beep, beep.
All right, we'll try to get him back.
Yeah. Bob, if you can hear us, try to log back on.
Yeah, we'll have him leave and come back. Oh, my options are ban from studio or kick from studio. I'm afraid to do either. I'm afraid to click either.
See if
either.
He links back on.
Yeah, poor guy. But yeah, we didn't even get a chance to start asking him, like, you know, how he's doing and stuff. He probably thinks we completely ambushed him, the poor man.
No, I want to talk to him too. He's got some stuff coming up with Kevin Kelly. I know they're launching
exactly
our series.
And I want to ask him, and we want to ask him about NXT. While the trial was going on, he was on NXT or at NXT. I want to ask him about it.
Yeah.
But you know,
honestly, that's a guy. I mean, I don't know what Bob's like family situation is where he lives now, but like that's like the perfect guy to have down at NXT. Like I know Carino's down there, and I don't know who else, but if you could get a guy like Bob down on NXT just to even run like beginner stuff or whatever, he could do it. Like you could say, hey Bob, we need you on Thursday and Friday to run beginner classes, and then fucking next week we need you to do advanced or whatever. He could do it all. Like so, if I was like an NXT or something like that, I would definitely pursue a guy like Bob. There's not many of them out there.
Well, you got to think, I first met Bob when we worked for Kevin Kelly up in Connecticut. That had to have been 01?
I don't know. Yeah, that might be, I don't remember, 99, 2000.
Bob, are you able to hear us? You're probably just going through a bad area or something. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we wanted to talk to you about being at NXT and about what you have coming up as far as with Kevin Kelly. We wanted to talk to you about.
We might have to do event. A take two on Bob when he's
home. We'll have to get Bob on here again real soon if he can't do it right now. But that's all right. We have plenty of other stuff.
We can still speak about him. Yeah.
We have
known Bob forever.
Yeah, it never stops us any other time. So
The very first time I met Bob, he handed me $40 and I was like, what is this for? And he goes, you do the indie calendar. And the fact that like you've put this together, I want to buy you dinner. I was like, wow. No, like don't do that. Like it's and he was like, no, I'm doing this for you because I've gotten so many bookings off of the calendar. And I was like, huh. What? Like
Bill, what is the indie calendar for those of us that don't know what it is?
So I started several years ago to put together a listing of just independent events as I could find them. I had someone who, it's funny because now this person is a promoter, tell me, oh, there's never any independent events running anymore. I said, what are you talking about? They're all over the place. And I used to do it even back in the PWU day, sort of had a version of it and sort of left it alone. And then after this person said that, I was like, I got to bring it back. If people are feeling like there's no events out there, I got to put this out there. And it was really at first for fans to just find, you know, what's going on in your area, because I hate to say it, but some of the things that promoters, you know, one who promotes are the worst at is the promoting part of promoting.
Yeah.
and so it was like, all right, I'll put it out there. And then come to find out more and more talent were using it as a way to source for events to find bookings. And hey, why do you think I was putting it together too? It's smart. It's a great thing to do. So like, I'm glad I do it between meetings at work or if I'm at home sitting in front of a television, like, all right, I'm going to work on this. It just keeps me busy and occupied.
It makes perfect sense to me. I mean, especially if you're bringing a guy in, let's say it's like a 3-day loop of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and the guy's working somewhere on a Saturday, he might be able to look up and say, oh shit, I'm flying in from Oklahoma on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Maybe I could pick up a booking on a Friday and a Sunday, and then the promoters can work together on trans money, except Charlie Tiger. You know, stuff like that.
Except Charlie Tiger.
Very cool.
Okay. So Bob Evans said he can hear us, but he's got a bad signal. It's no problem, Bob. We appreciate the effort.
Next week or something, if you come. Being at home or something is going to be his best bet, stationary.
Yeah. We do it every Monday, Bob. We'd love to have you anytime. We want to ask you about a bunch of stuff that we had. Believe me, all this stuff with the nonsense about the court was just going to scratch the surface. Yeah. But thanks for being up for it. And you looked like your technique at driving was pretty good. You had a good 10 to 2 going on the wheel. So
your car needs a higher like windshield mount. I think he's like on the vent right now. He's like a little bit more in the face.
Hashtag ride with Bob. Listen, any opportunity somebody gets to travel with Brutal Bob, take it. That's any aspiring wrestler, anybody who's been, you know, traveling or just wants to attend a show. Bob is as good as they get, you know, any opportunity to learn from Bob, whether it's in the car, seminar, or in the ring, you will only get better.
We've done Bob Evans seminars and learned a whole bunch. Bob has a world of knowledge. Learn from him. He's awesome.
Hell yeah.
I think what's cool about Bob is as a promoter, you could have him do anything at the show. Like you could say, Bob, we need chair set up. Bob, we need booking. Bob, we need ref. Bob, we need whatever it is. And he could do all of it. So that's what I always liked about Bob. The only reason I didn't work with him much as a lot of other guys, it just was distance. He was up in the New England area with Sheldon Goldberg. I was down here. So Bob and I's presence would cross every now and again. And nothing but good things to say. Like I said, if I was NXT or even, I don't know what AEW does with their farm system or whatever the deal is. But I refuse to believe a guy like Bob Evans couldn't get a full-time gig as an instructor of some kind in the goddamn pro wrestling world. It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. Bill Daly's here. What's up, Bill? He used to tag with Ian Knox in CZW, actually. Really? He said a dojo match with Bob got us booked in New York City for Final Battle. Bob's a great leader and coach. There you go, Bill. And Bill, you're a good leader and coach too. So it takes one to know one. Good stuff.
From the Monster Factory, actually.
Bill?
Yeah. Benchmark Bill Daly.
Yeah, he was in CZW with us back in the day. And speaking of, his partner was Ian Knox, right? Check this out, guys. So we got some new calls made. Oh, wow. So on the left, we have Rick Blade, younger man Rick Blade. In the middle, Donnie, you know who that is?
I'm going to go on a limb and say it's Reckless Youth.
Yeah. Reckless Youth with the Donnie Wahlberg head.
Yeah.
Yep. And then who's on the right is Ian Knox. I don't know if you know him, Donnie. He was our boy in CZW. But yeah, so they did the entire cast of characters from CZW back in the day as creator wrestlers. And it's all on X. So it all looks really nice. So anyway.
That's awesome.
So yeah, so the president of wrestling, Phil, how do you like your first what we had to go through to get you? My guy had to call your guy. It was a pain in the butt, but we finally got it all done.
I mean, as the president, you have to have people to hit to coordinate your calendars and like put it all together for you. And then you're just told to like show up. It's great.
So are you going to be able to do like a weekly verbal, or I can share stuff on the screen, indie report or whatever's coming up. I know you're very involved with Revolver with Sammy Callahan.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell us a little bit about that? You can, you know, when Rob was on here, Rob talked about ESW all the time. I mean, you can talk about Revolver as much as you want, brother.
Sure. Thank you. Been involved with Wrestling Revolver since its beginning, ran by Sammy Callahan, runs in primarily in Iowa, Texas, and Ohio. So they kind of rotate between states. Infrequently, they're at another state here and there. So we're going back to Ohio actually on May 17th. So I'm looping from there to Hampton, Virginia for another event, and then coming up to SPO that weekend. Just had MCW Pro Wrestling this past weekend. So I just got involved with them about maybe 6 years ago. As their general manager. So I've been very involved as much as I can everywhere. There's plenty of events on the calendar we can talk about. I don't know if you want to pick an area.
Go ahead, brother.
I would say, I mean, I know just based on the calendars, if there was any off weekend that my brother and I had, we would always go to, you know, Phil's calendar as a reference to see like what shows could we possibly go to in some sort of driving distance, you know what I mean? Like his calendar, I'm telling you right now, between the first weekend to the last, from, you know, let's say this month to the next, is you can find every single, you know, date filled. He has a whole bunch of territories and parts of the country that have shows already out from between now up until, let's say, the end of June. I'm sure he already has marked down.
Yeah. I have stuff to the end of the year marked up.
There you go.
Great.
So I just try to keep that as active as I can, because I'll find somebody will post a random flyer, won't link to anything, and it's like, oh, let me just throw this up there. And yeah, as much as I can to try to help somebody find work or just a fan to try to connect to wrestling. And that's why I created it in the first place, just because fans were saying like, there's no wrestling out there. What are you talking about? Like, just from my own Facebook feed, I can see that there's wrestling all over the place. Let's put it together and get it out there.
That's great.
Yeah. Ken Grover says that calendar he does is awesome. Phil, you know, they say consistency is key, and I've seen evidence of this lately that is indeed the case. And if that is the case, how long have you been doing this thing? We're talking at least 20 years.
It's almost been that. It's sort of like different iterations. And like I said, around the PWU time, I took a little bit of a break, and then I came back probably 12 years ago and haven't stopped in 12 years. Pretty much every week I put out an updated release. I'll do a social media graphic with it. Now I have it posted on a website called Substack. It's a little weird because it's like an old school Blogspot post, but people can subscribe to it. You can also donate.
Oh, geez.
You know, I need campaign funds. I mean, hey, it's a great tool. You can get an email straight to you. So instead of having to come search for it, it'll email it to you. So every week I do an update. Like I said, I have everything from now until the end of the year. I also keep a separate listing of all of the promotions I have found along the way and all of their contact information.
Yes.
So that way I'll cycle through like, I think in this current cycle, I'm at like Indiana. So whatever state's after Indiana, like I'll go then there next and just run through like on a commercial break during a TV show or something.
So is it safe to say that pretty much the entire bat belt of PW was just you, Phil Stamper? You were our Swiss Army knife when it came to running events, dude. Like, I relied on you for everything with that list. That list was worth your weight in gold, brother, especially when there was no social media and you had to go and release things to the news website in order to get it noticed.
I still have a bit of that. So I have, it's something like 520 wrestling media contacts. I've started to build up mainstream media contacts too.
Good.
And so like different places I go, there's still a lot of popular websites that people will go to look up stuff for events. I mean, it's, and on a good slow week of news, like wrestling will get first page, front page coverage almost every time. And so it's great to see that people still have that interest and will bite. Sometimes some promoters are like, why, what are all these people doing showing up with cameras at my event? They're promoting your event.
Yeah.
Use them.
Thank God.
Thank God. Well, up until now, you've been our commentator at SPO, and we'll see where you're going to go from here. But you're going to be seeing Phil on our SPO events, of course, as we move forward. Raymond Sanchez says, "Good evening, gentlemen." Good evening, Raymond.
I think Raymond McCraft.
Raymond just wrestled Danny Moff, so he's obviously in the chat room from his
hotel. He survived. From his,
he still concussed? Like.
He's in his hospital bed talking to us right now.
Do you need the migraine glasses today? Because I will share them, sir.
Yeah, I think you're right. But so we had a interesting day today. We actually made, check this out, everyone, what we made. Tommy made it here. Just a Mitchell Firehouse is starting their Mother's Day sale next week, in about a week and a half. So just keep that in mind. All proceeds go to helping them out. So that's always something good. And also, while you're in the mood, our women's champion, Christina Marie, has a new t-shirt. Check it out. Get it while they're still available. Pretty banging. Stand out from the crowd. Look good. Pass the airport test wearing the Courageous Christina Marie merchandise. And book Pat Dynamite. What's wrong with people? Why does he have open dates like this? Book Pat Dynamite. Get it done. But speaking of Pat Dynamite, we are going to announce a match, you guys. Let's announce a match for May 19th. What do you guys say? Dun, 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 dun. Lucky 13 versus Pat Dynamite. Two winning streaks. One must end. So it's 3-0 versus 4-0. So this should be pretty interesting. These guys are pretty evenly matched. Lucky might have a few pounds on Pat, but I think Pat has a few inches in height. JP, what do you make of this?
You know, I just find it crazy because, you know, we've only had three events, but Pat's record is 4-0. So we have to explain to these people, why is it that Pat has four matches under his belt when we've only had three events?
And he's only been at two of them.
Right. Pat ran a gauntlet at our second event boss battles. Pat ran a gauntlet. He beat three people in one day, in one outing, and then he also won the cinematic match. And at the next event on the 19th, we are going to open up the event with the encore of the cinematic match. So fans that weren't there, that may have been at WrestleMania, for example, that didn't get to see it, will get to see it at Boss Battles. So that should be pretty good. So, yeah, it's a press your luck match. You know, one of these guys is not going to be undefeated after this. So Rat Boy says he's going with Lucky 13. Donnie, who are you going with?
Whatever the opposite of Rat Boy. So I'm going with
Pat Dynamite.
Pat Dynamite.
Yeah. Well, you like Pat anyway. Bill, what do you think?
I loved him in that cinematic deal. I hope we see that again. Something like that down the line.
I mean, you keep saying press your luck and you literally have a guy named Lucky in the match. So,
right.
I got to go with Lucky. I mean, Lucky's my boy. We're still, I think, in the 16th year of our tag team reign at AWA Quebec. So I have to pick Lucky 13.
Awesome. How about you?
You know, both these guys, it could be an even toss up, but if I was a betting man, I got to go with Pat Dynamite. You know, the guy is doing a clean sweep of SPO. Oh. And, you know, if I was a betting man, which I am, I'm betting Pat Dynamite.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go with Pat as well. It's going to be 5-0.
Ooh.
Danger Ginger's going with Lucky. Tara's going with Pat Dynamite, and I got to go with Pat Dynamite, guys. And I'm a huge Lucky fan. Lucky's one of my favorite wrestlers in the world, but I don't know. I just don't see Pat Dynamite losing. If Lucky wins, it's me versus Donnie in an arm wrestling contest. Says
you're
Rat
gonna look
boy.
Pretty dumb walking what around arm? With one arm there, Rat. You're gonna look pretty foolish walking around with one arm. Just let me know if you're lefty or righty.
Rap Boy, did you arm wrestle Z-Bar? And if so, where? Put in the chat where. Was it at Columbus Sale? By the way, I was at Columbus Sale this past Sunday, yesterday. and it was packed. Like, I'm talking thousands of automobiles and just so many people. And I got
everyone is out again, man. That's what I'm loving. We were at the Lurita Winery in South Jersey for the Bacon Fest on Saturday. Wow. And it was great, man. Fun family atmosphere, thousands of people, food trucks. It was so great, man. It was just a fantastic weekend.
That sounds awesome. So I have a couple things I want to show you guys. We had a lot of clips last week in your absence, Donnie. Did you get to watch the show? No, Donnie, right?
I listened to it in the car. Did not why I couldn't watch it on the car. I listened to it, though. You guys did pretty good. I thought you were fine.
We're the shits without you. So, all right. Humble. So check this out. We've always said HC Loke was the best guy to ever take the T gimmick. We always say that. It's just been a you know, an old wives tale. Well, we finally found the clip. Check this out, guys.
Well, out of the ring, and we got what up? They got him hooked. T gimmick. Oh my goodness. Shit. This is going to be it.
Wow. Jeez.
Damn. Should we watch it again? Let's watch.
Yes.
It.
Yeah.
Joel out of the ring, and we got what up? They got him hooked. T gimmick. Oh my goodness, this is gonna be it.
Oof.
So backseat.
That's deadly.
Your in ring reaction, Johnny, is how I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, backseats. I told them. I said, "F it. From now on, do it. I want to see that every event."
That I wonder how come nobody's copied that. Why do you think nobody's ever done that again?
The Bludgeon Brothers did it.
Yeah.
Who?
They did it on TV. Yeah, the Bludgeon Brothers.
Who were they? Rowan. Who are the Bludgeon Brothers?
Brody Lee and Eric and Rowan.
Oh, what did they? Okay, cool. Well, dude, it would look pretty awesome with them doing it.
It
shit.
Did. It did. It, and I wasn't even mad at them.
They must have got. They must. Well, John Huber knew who you were, right? Johnny. Yeah, yeah, no yeah, way yeah, he yeah, didn't. Yeah. So that's where they got it from.
Yeah, yeah.
The triple power bomb. There's no way in the world that they didn't get that from me, you, and Trent when the Shield started doing that. There's no way in the world that John Moxley, I'm pretty sure. Did he know Trent?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he definitely
Moxley
saw
wore
that.
A Trent. Moxley wore the
I remember that.
Mark shirt on a pay-per-view. Danger Ginger, have a good night at work, my man. Thanks for stopping.
Double, that was at Double or Nothing.
So yeah, he must have. That's where they got the trip. Because the first time I saw it, I'm like, oh shit, there's our triple powerbomb.
Yep. Yeah, that was cool. This iteration of the back seats, we haven't done the triple Yakuza kick yet. We got to start
the
doing
triple
that.
Super kick was deadly, bro.
It was.
You got to be me, Johnny. You got to be the middleman. Let them come in from each corner. You guys got to work on it, though, because if it's off time, it'll look like
shit.
We got
to show that clip of Donnie throwing that super kick.
I know. We got to get more.
Donnie kick was lethal. Now the Donnie kick is only lethal to about your kneecap.
Oh, the Donnie kick.
The sweet Donnie kick ain't that good now.
Well, here's some. We have some power. Here's a power display from JP and then a good tandem acid reflux. Now, this used to be called the one-hit wonder. When Trent was with us, but in the new iteration, we've named it the acid reflux out of, honor to Trent. And usually it's done twice. So usually it's me doing it to Tommy and then getting up and doing it to JP. So that's why the reflux, but anyway.
Well, there's also another story behind it, en route to a show. Someone had sick and or someone was sick and I'll leave it at that.
Well, that's true too. All right, here we go.
Grayson's. Oh, there's that power of JP. Full power slam. We saw the Graysons win that Boxing Day blowout matchup over the Philly Marino Experience back on December 26th.
Yeah, there's no lack of tag team talent here. Look out.
And that's the acid reflux.
There it is.
That's a great name. Yeah.
Yeah, it is, right?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Good deal. So, guys, unfortunately, Dewey has to come out of my mouth. The word Dewey. Let me just make sure nothing's going on the Instagram. Oh, Charlie Tiger. Charlie Tiger's in the Instagram. I heard Tommy Grayson licks payphones.
Oh, man, the disrespect.
Ketchup seems to abruptly disappear around the Graysons. What does this mean with ketchup? What is going on with you guys and ketchup?
I don't understand what he's talking about.
Listen, Charlie. Enough about licking payphones and enough about ketchup. Show up the 19th so that Griffin McCoy could lock you in the cage like the tiger that you are, like the animal that you claim to be. Because I guarantee you, you will be dripping nothing but drool when he's done with you.
Oh, oof. All this over ketchup. God, if you'd have said relish, I don't know what would have happened.
I lick payphones. That's a crime.
Anyway. So anyway, yeah. So that's... I don't know if he's still there, but he was there a little bit ago. So
I have to have him report on to the, you know, wrestler's court if he can tune in.
Wait, the court's open, like I said to Johnny and Phil. I think we all discussed it. The court will be open for business in the future. If anyone has a case they want the court to take up, I think we'd be more than glad to at least consider it. We'll be like the Supreme Court. They get like a couple hundred requests a year for cases, right, and they only handle a handful. Right. We can't just have any idiot show up here on wrestler's court. It's got to be something substantial.
They're too busy, Donnie. They need an 8-month off season, that Supreme Court, don't forget.
Yeah. So we only handle the real stuff. So if you have someone who needs to be brought up on charges and have it litigated in our forum, the wrestler's court.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So I wake up and I see this on Facebook. I'm going to blur the image a little bit just because it makes me sick, guys. But I got to show. I don't want to show this, but I have to. All right. Let me explain what you're looking at here. You're looking at, first of all, we used to be the High Five. All right. That's B-Boy, me, Nate Hatred, Messiah, Adam Flash, Trent, and Dewey. Right. Well, I guess Dewey's so mad that we're restarted the backseats without him. Now he's restarted the High Five with Decker, Jordan, the Rep, and himself. And he uses, and this is what is really driving me insane, is he uses the picture of Messiah's hand after he got his thumb removed. That's the actual picture. That's not a photoshopped image. That's Messiah's actual hand. Like, why would Dewey even go there? It doesn't even make sense. Messiah didn't do a damn thing to him. It's just more collateral damage bullshit.
Disgusting. There's zero chance he could have approved that. I doubt Dewey called him and said, hey, buddy, would you mind if I used your picture of your hand? There's no way.
And he writes, you saw what he wrote on the bottom. You can count on us. Like, come on, man.
Listen, whoever, I will give him credit for the eye and high, putting his tie there as the eye with his head on there as the dot on the eye.
That was the only thing I was going to say, too.
Yeah, that's pretty creative. As much as I despise Dewey Donovan, like, I had to clean out my kid's sink the other day in the bathroom, and I pulled out, like, this gunk of hair and all this shit. And I'm like, when I pulled it out, I said, man, look at all this Dewey I'm pulling out. So that's Dewey Donovan.
It's gross. Let me explain to you guys something, all right? I'm going to pull back the curtain here. And Dewey knows how much I love the wrestling business, and he knows I wouldn't expose it. But I'm going to sacrifice my own beliefs for a minute, and I'm going to break the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh wall here. And I'm going to show you guys something, all right? This is what has me and Dewey forever linked, all right? Watch this. This is Cage of Death 5.
Wait a minute! Wait a minute! Almost got Dewey Donovan! Someone call 911! This is ridiculous! Call 911! Someone, please! Please call 911!
All right. I want you guys to understand something. Here's what happened. I'm up at the top of the cage with Lobo, and Dewey starts climbing up the top of the cage. Dewey, as clear as day, yells, I changed my mind, guys. I can't do it. Now, what was going to happen? He was going to climb back down that cage? I don't know what came over me, and I don't usually curse, but the truth is, I said, shut the fuck up and get up here. And you can see me on video saying it. And that snapped him out of it, and he got up there. And then he ended up getting hurt. So,
not bad enough.
The reason he hates me is not because he says I used him as a human shield. It's because I wouldn't let him chicken out. He would have never forgiven himself for the rest of his life if he had to climb back down off that cage with his tail between his legs because he was afraid to take a fucking bump. I don't like cursing, but, you know, Percy beats up these guys and that bothers the shit out of me, but now he's going to mess with Messiah. Like, come on. B-Boy's just been restored, and now we're going to mess with Messiah. Why? Because Messiah came on our podcast and talked about a possible wrestling return. All these guys returning is a coincidence. And coincidences are like signposts on the side of the road saying you're going the right direction. So when I see things like this, it tells me we're doing something right. So, whatever.
I will say that's a pretty formidable group, though. Like, I mean, not for nothing, but the Rep, right. You know how highly I think of them. And Oliver, I think, is fantastic. And Decker, too, man. That's Dewey assembled himself a nice little army there, Johnny.
Yeah, he did. I got to hand it to him.
Got your work cut out for you.
Mm-hmm. He sure did. But guys, real quick, I don't know if we were going to do this a few weeks ago and we never got to do it. I think right now is the perfect time to do it. The Undertaker's wrestling Mount Rushmore. And obviously we're all about Mount Rushmore on here. So
wow.
Undertaker's is Andre the Giant, Ric Flair, Steve Austin, and Hulk Hogan. So who is going to tell the Undertaker they're wrong? Donnie B, what is your four?
I mean, the cool thing about this is anybody's opinion can be right.
Right.
If my, and depending on your age and your exposure to the business, it might be different. But for me, I would have to say, obviously, Hogan
mm-hmm.
is on my Mount Rushmore. I got to put Steve Austin on there. I got to put Andre on there as well. And I think my fourth one. This is always the tough one. I might put Shawn Michaels on there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Curveball.
Wow.
Yeah. Just as somebody who's, I mean, you could, either Michaels or Flair. I mean,
or Rock.
I would put The Rock. I was going to say.
I can see why you guys would, but you know what? I'm going to change that. I think I'm going to agree with the Undertaker on that one. I'm going to go Andre, Flair, Austin, and Hogan. That's my four. I think you can make a case for that. But like I said, well, I want to hear your four. All you guys.
What do you say, Phil?
Because part of me is like, because that still feels almost too current, like 40 years ago. But it's like, do you include like a Luthez? I mean, this is a man who wrestled in six different decades.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and impacted so many people in that age. So like, in my brain, I'm like, Luthez has to go up there somewhere. I agree with Hogan. Like, you know, people don't realize the impact he had just inside the ring, but knew a lot of knowledge about production because he worked in film work. And like when he hopped to like Impact, he really changed a lot of what they did production wise. Even and WCW, he changed a lot of what they did. They changed the physical ring because their guys were getting hurt because of Hogan's input. So I would keep Hogan there. I'm going to say The Rock over Austin. Yeah, you're right. The fourth one is the tough one because for me, in my brain, I look at someone like a Reckless Youth, and Reckless Youth is sort of in my own brain. Like, I'm the president of wrestling, but he will always be the king. Like, that's how I look at it in sort of my brain. Because he's indicative of that style that, like, that I know Johnny, that I know you for, that I know Amazing Red for, that I know the SATs for, that, you know, the backseats for. Like, I look at that era and, like, to me, he was that guy. But I'm also, like, I'm ridiculously technically minded and I love that kind of style of wrestling.
Wait. Are you saying you would put Reckless Youth up there with the Hulk Hogans? And
Let's do it. I'm going to do it.
Wow.
If it's a personal reflection of how I feel about wrestling.
Yeah, it is. He's allowed. Wow. That's his opinion,
Then that's what I would do.
Wow. That's awesome.
JP?
All right. I'm going to have to agree. Again, I'm going to go with Andre the Giant. I'm going to go with The Rock.
Oops. I just kicked JP off.
Man, really?
We got The Rock and Andre. That was it.
Nah, I know. I'm going to have to add. This is a tough one, but I'm going to probably have to go with Macho Man Randy Savage for the third one.
That's a good one.
It's a good one.
And then the fourth one, I might have to go with Bruno Sammartino.
Great pick.
I think it's pretty well balanced. I think, again, you know, all different eras. You know, you got Bruno and then Andre, then going into, you know, Macho Man and then Rock, I think. It's all different, you know, eras. Yeah. Pretty good.
Tommy?
So this is not my personal opinion of who I like the most. This is if you're taking the Mount Rushmore of the most identifiable pro wrestlers to a mainstream audience, not a wrestling audience, for me, it's got to be Hogan, Austin, Rock, and Cena. Those are the big four.
Yeah, you could definitely make that argument.
Those are the big four who in North America made the most money, defined an era,
were indicative of their era and stood the test of time and stand the test of time. Everyone else is great. I love and respect everyone's list. Love everyone's accomplishments. I'm looking at it for somebody who does not know wrestling, who does not follow the business like we do. You can name any four of those and they'll at least know them to some degree, at least one of them. That's why.
Is there anybody that you look at today, any of you that you look at today, and you know, they're not that tier level yet, but that you're like, I can see them in 30 years, us talking about them in that same way that they would be on a Mount Rushmore.
Wow.
If they keep their trajectory in the way they're going.
Are we going to say Cody?
I don't think he can.
I would put someone, I would put guys like Randy Orton or John Cena in there.
Yeah, Randy.
I was going to say maybe Seth Rollins or Roman. The thing with Roman is I don't know how much longer he's going to be around just through his own health and everything else. I could see him wrapping it up very soon. I don't see another 10-year run out of Roman, something like that. No. But Seth's an interesting one. I don't know if he can ever get on the mountain, but I think he's going to be one of those guys when he does pack it in that people go, God damn, that Seth Rollins was fucking awesome, dude. He was in the middle of everything. He was the reason WrestleMania was so successful both nights.
And you know what else is interesting, too, is that if you look at it, it's like these guys back in the day were these huge box office draws, you know, and now their box office is going up because of the actual box office. They're actually movie stars now. So it's like giving them a whole new level. So it's like almost not fair in a way to equate The Rock to like a Ric Flair. But then again, you have to say, well, Ric Flair could have had the same opportunities that The Rock had, right?
He acted.
Yeah.
If
he was good, he could have increased his.
I feel like whenever Ric Flair showed up in a movie, he was in a movie as Ric Flair.
Like body slammed. He was in the front row with the Wild Samoans or something.
He did that same spot in like two other movies too.
Yeah,
like
it's probably the
wrestling
same
movie
footage.
Front row. Ric Flair's in the front row.
Yeah.
To be fair though, you could say the same thing. You know, some people argue the same thing about The Rock, and I'm the biggest Dwayne fan in the world. I love Big Dwayne. I think Hollywood Rock is the best thing that ever happened to pro wrestling because it broke barriers in wrestling that hadn't been broken before. You know, wrestlers had been in movies, but The Rock literally became the highest grossing action franchise star for a moment in time. But post that high, he starred in four movies that were, you know, back to back, like, you know, all the same character between Jumanji and Rampage. And there were like a few other ones, and literally he looked and wore the exact same wardrobe. So, you know, not to say that they were bad movies. It's just, you know, I think everyone has peaks and valleys, both in wrestling and in film, you know.
Nice. Who's on your list, Johnny? You didn't tell us.
So I'm actually going to say I'm pretty much right there with Undertaker. So I'm basically, by the way, Steve Jordan said Dwayne is good, but I am sick of him. Nope. Thanks.
Well, he's going to be around for a long time. So I hope you're
thanks for coming in, Steve, by the way. But I'm going to stick with Hogan, Austin, Flair, and then I'm going to just switch Andre with The Rock, and I'm going to go that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. But yeah, I think everyone made good arguments. I think there's no right and wrong answer.
Of course not.
But hey, we look at it like this.
I'm partial to Andre. One of my first live shows ever was 1983 at Raritan High School in North New Jersey. It was Rocky Johnson and Andre the Giant versus the Magnificent Morocco and Mr. Fuji. And my dad took us to see it. And we went all day. We spent time working on our beach bum signs that we brought with us to hold up. And this right hand right here, this hand with these five fingers on it, when Andre came, we knew which side of the school near the bleachers that the wrestlers were going to come out. So once we knew the bad guys and good guys side, we waited. And right before the main event, my brother and I ran over so we could hang over. And when Andre came walking by, this right hand right here slapped Andre on his back and patted him on the back as he went to the ring.
Wow.
And I was 1983. I was 11 years old. And what we thought was the greatest thing. We went back to my dad. I'm like, Dad, we just patted Andre on the back. And Andre, you know, he's like, he's kept walking. We just put him on. We're about eight bleachers up, eight rows up, and he just walked by us, dude. It was cool, man.
Donnie, this hand patted Ahmed Johnson.
This hand did something else to Ahmed Johnson, but with one finger out. But that's story for another day. Yeah.
So real quick, I want to show you this we made for so Charlie Tiger versus Griffin McCoy, Donnie. So we said you sent the bounty hunter after Charlie. So there it is. We made that from the Tiger King. So
that's great.
But guys, so this weekend, we got to talk real quick. We got a big deal this weekend. John McChesney's event is coming up. All right. I want to talk about that real quick. Yeah, dude. McChesney's the man. So here's the deal with McChesney, guys. So here's his new Fed. All right. Big League Pro. You can check it out on Facebook, Instagram, X, and whatever that bottom thing is. Google Play. At Big League. They're
all different. I think it's TikTok.
I would have said TikTok. I don't know. All right. But anyway, that's Big League Pro. So check that out.
Google Play.
This is
Google Play.
I thought it was Google Play.
I still don't know what it was.
Get it together. Be a professional.
He's on
man.
Something. Anyway, May the 4th, we're going to be in Erie, Pennsylvania, everybody. So May the 4th be with you is this big event. It's a huge event. General admission's only $20. Check it out. We have you guys, the Backseat Boys, going against Money Shot. Money Shot are big dudes, man. You guys are really going to have to call upon the force if you want to get past these guys. But I have faith in you.
I like surprised. The placement there of is that was that JP with like looks like he has like a lightsaber coming out of his hand.
It's
like,
a Green yep. Lantern ring.
Green Lantern ring. Right. Yep.
Or the yellow guys in that one.
But his opponent has it coming out of his like nipple, so that's even more powerful.
Yeah. Right. I mean, look, the looks can be deceiving, but you'd be surprised when, you know, Backseats and Money Shot go face to face. You'll be surprised. You know, it's not much of a difference between the size and the height.
There you can check us out, by the way, if you want to get tickets to our events at SpareWrestling.com, everybody. And here's my match. Seven men and a ladder. And it's called the Death Star Ladder Match. Donnie, you know I have to win this, right? Like,
my goodness.
I can't show my face around this podcast if I don't win this.
I mean, not for nothing. You got more experience than all the other six combined, I think. Well,
I mean, we got right? Wes Barkley. We got Spencer Slade. We got this real big dude, Sam Holloway, who was just on WrestleMania with, like, a sword and stuff, a real big giant. We got Channing Decker. We got Rex Brody. And we got John McChesney himself. So, seven men, a ladder, and whatever else we can add to that match. So that's going to be this weekend, everybody. I will absolutely be careful. I don't want to get a black eye or anything stupid like that.
Looks like it's going to be a good spring and summer for indie wrestling, man. I see the seeds that were planted in the winter starting to germinate now and starting to grow some trees. So I'm happy for you guys. I hope both of you, Phil, everybody, I hope that the summer and spring is a good profitable season for the old indies.
Yep, absolutely, man. So a few Star Wars helmets Steve Jordan has. Thanks, brother. We got to see those. Show them off at the next event for sure. So, Phil, before we end here, so people can get to their wrestling, they got to get to the wrestling at 8 o'clock. Anything about the upcoming week or weeks or schedule that you want to drop?
Of course you're asking now, literally, as I just closed it. I should have known.
All right.
You know, Donnie talked about something, you know, that seeing a lot of these promotions like bearing great fruit. Randomly, the promotions I'm seeing the most of, this is going to sound silly, but it's the most talked about, people ask me about on the list, the midget wrestling companies that are touring.
I would book that in a heartbeat. Yep.
Yeah. I have never gone to one, and I am looking forward to going to one soon.
Billy Blade runs them, the guy that runs PWU out in California. We can get him on here, and he runs Micromania. That's his gimmick. Yeah.
And Cody Hawks, I think, runs one of them too. I can't remember which one, but he's like a trainer for them.
Which I is the Fed that has
Cody
a show
is the one that was on TV with the show, the behind
it's
the
on the Discovery Channel, about. Right?
Yeah, that one is Micro, I think Micro League Wrestling, right? Is that the name of it?
It's called Micro Pro Wrestling, I believe.
Micro Pro, the one with the hell of an operation, the one that's based out of Pigeon Forge, right?
Yeah,
that is an incredible. Like, I did some quick math on that, and I was like, "Holy shit! This guy's selling out a couple each double shows, a couple nights a week. He has like three crews on the road." I'm like, "This motherfucker's making a ton."
I know.
Yeah. It's a great setup.
Yeah, and all the little people must be taken care of, or else, you know, I don't know how that works, if they get on salary or contracted. I have no idea, but they all seem happy.
Yeah. We have to get someone from this on here. I want to know if there's any drama between the two microorganizations.
I've been wondering about that, honestly, too.
I'll bet there is.
And there's a couple others that tour. Like, there's Extreme Dwarfinators. There's Micro Wrestling All-Stars.
Yeah.
There's like five of them that are doing this tour model. And I'm like, this is brilliant. Like, why aren't we doing this?
We need a deeper dive into this. It's like that Ugandan Wrestling Federation.
Yeah.
The Mud Wrestling.
SGW. Yeah. Mansoor just showed up. Like, him and his tag team.
Yeah.
I saw that.
That's insane.
Yeah. I think on their own dime they went there.
Yeah. Like, that's the Maximum Male Models.
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
Am I crazy, Donnie, or if you ran a Ugandan wrestling fed, wouldn't you have the giant Kamala as like your guy? Like, at least you would
find somebody to take over the mantle. Yeah,
that's what I was saying.
I'd make, and they don't even mention him. That's valuable. The one that's really valuable, that figure with the special moon belly on it or whatever.
That's right.
Jack Cardona knows. Yeah, get that in there.
We got
to. It's a sign of respect. They don't want to take that. They don't want to take that power away, or they're saving him for like something special.
Wants to take up the mantle of Kamala. I would.
I mean, because right now you have, what was it? And the only person whose name I know is like Lord White, the guy they killed, buried, and he came back to life.
Yeah, really?
He's like their biggest mud. Yeah,
there's healing properties in the mud.
I didn't see it. I just saw the clip. Wait a minute. They run angles or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh shit! Now I'm invested. I gotta watch this. Right? I only saw like one or two clips on social.
We gotta do a watch along soon. We'll start doing watch alongs because I want to do a watch along of UnF Unbelievable next month, leading into UnF Necessary with you guys. It's the match I did with Jun Kasai and all the craziness. But I was gonna say we can all pick different watch alongs and start doing them next month. I think it'd be fun on here. We have the technology now.
This is amazing. I wish this was around in the mid '90s, man. We would have had a blast. Like, we were talking before about Phil's calendar and putting out stuff for the way we used, no bullshit, before some of the Dennis shows and this and that, we'd have to handwrite or the day of type out a list of the upcoming events or shows and then go to Staples or the Kinko's and make like 500 or whatever copies and put them on everybody's chair at the show. Yep. So they would, the hopes that you'd bring it home and put it on your refrigerator. Like, that's how we transmitted information back then. There was no internet. There was no text messages, emails. It didn't exist. I thought we did it.
Yep.
Is it going to let me share my screen, maybe? No.
What are you trying to share? Oh, the schedule.
I was going
to
show, like, just quickly, like, the randomness. It's going to be too small probably to see on the screen, but the calendar that I have. Because there's stuff, I mean, there's stuff in Australia, in Alaska.
Wow.
Every state in the country, every province in Canada. Mexico, so Japan. Awesome. There's stuff all over the place.
Wow. Donnie, before we go off, Donnie, how was your anniversary? I showed the Osprey last week.
It was great, We hung out. We went to dinner with the kids. That was fun. And then we actually, the weekend was also, we were down at Ocean City for my daughter's final cheer competition of the season. They went over, brother. They won the championships. Yeah. What the highest honor, you'll pop for this, the highest honor and cheer in this organization, when you win one of the national championships, you win their version of a Ribera coat. They win jackets. All the team members win jackets. So these kids, they won their national champion coats. And actually for my daughter's team, she's on two teams. They won the first competition of the year, was actually a nationally recognized competition also. So they won coats at the first competition and their last. So they actually won two championship coats this year. Their teams, the gym had four teams go down and compete. Three out of the four won national championship coats. So big ups to Primetime Cheer and all the kids on all the teams. They did fantastic. Ocean City, Maryland treated us with such hospitality. I love Ocean City, Maryland. Anniversary was great. It's just been a great run, bro. Like, you know, I know I'm a blessed man. Every morning I wake up, we all are, but the run I'm on now with my wife and the kids and our family and everything is just great. So
the
run. It is. It's a run, bro. Listen, there's going to be ups and downs in everyone's life. Every day is not going to be fucking peaches and cream. But when you can string together, life is the peaks and valleys, man. And life is actually the time in between each wave. DDP actually said that to me once. He said life is the peaks of the wave or the high spots. But life is actually the length in between you catching each wave. And it makes a lot of sense. So I'm on a good run right now, man. It's just been fun. This stuff is great. And
Sean Hardy's in this,
man.
Sean Hardy's in the Tron. We're going to have to an announcement next week, actually, that Sean might want to hear. But he said, Tim Collins is your midget contact. Are we allowed to say midget, guys? I thought it was little person now, which I think sounds worse than midget, but whatever. Well,
don't they – Midget Wrestling Federation, is it? Well, that's micro, what, yeah. Right?
Steve Jordan said,
I think it's – micros.
We should get on the place. Some use midget, short sleeves, micro.
We should get short sleeve. Well,
I defer to Phil. I defer to Phil's judgment on this. Phil, how should we refer to?
I thought you were about to make a smart or a short joke there. I was like, wait a minute. But
how should we refer? What is the clinical term for the little folk from now on?
I mean, in good vernacular, you're supposed to just say little person. Micro is acceptable, but it depends on the name of the company. If the company calls themselves the Midget Wrestling Federation,
then who are we to
call themselves, right?
So we'll take it on a case by case basis.
Yeah,
we will. Absolutely. Good stuff, guys. Well, we'll try to get some more people on here, and we will get Bob Evans back, because we barely scratched the surface of what we need to get talking to with him. But anyway, thanks everyone for watching. Appreciate all of you. We will be back next week, 7 o'clock, with another match announcement. We are now less than 3 weeks away. Get your tickets right now. There's still very few ringside left, and then it's just down to bleacher seating. So go to www.spowrestling.com. All right, you guys, thanks for being here. We'll see y'all next week.
Me meets.